Begin the current daf himself. This Yuma daf pei zayin. Begin three lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of what Rava was saying regarding other statements about the challenges of Rabbanus, of authority, of positions of power, and that is, there comes with its certain challenges, that of the difficulty in regards to what we spoke about. One doesn't get paid for it, and the pitfalls are very many. Now, related to this, it says that Rava v'chiyav chazi amvuha, when he saw the throngs of the people that abastri that were following behind him, that's because they wanted to show covered for the great Talmud Chacham. He said the following pasuk in the Yiv, says imiyale l'shemaim siyoy, a reference to himself. If to the heavens is going to go his eminence, that he's so great, v'roshoy la'avi agiyah, and his head is going to reach the clouds, to say that although people are showing such covered to him, kigeleloy l'natzeach yoyved, that like dung, he'll be lost forever. Royab Yemru, those who had seen him, will say, Ayoy, where is he? And he said this so as not to become Balgai, but become haughty, because he sees all the throngs of people showing him great honor. This was the challenges of Rabbanas, of the covet that they show him, and not to become Mazir Das, to become a Balgai. Similarly, Rav Zutra, Kihava Mechasvile, when they would used to put him on their shoulders, because when he became older, they would carry him on their shoulders in the Beis Medrash so as not to make it challenging for the public to have to get up in front of him. So to be able to get him through the throngs, they would carry him on their shoulders. So they would do this b'Shabbat deRigla, on the Shabbosses of the Yom Tovim, which were throngs of people then. It was hard to get through. So Havama, he would say the Pasuk in Mishlei so that he doesn't become a Balgav. Also here, everyone's carrying him on their shoulders, the great Talmudic sage. He would say, Kiloy l'olam chayson, because the power is not forever. The imnezer l'davidar, and if he has the crown, you think it's going to last from generation to generation. And again, saying the same idea so that he doesn't become a balgaiva with all the covet that he gets as being a rav, a talmud chacham. Now the Gemara continues with pasuk in Mishlei, which says, Se'es p'nei rasha loytav, showing favor to the wicked is not good for them. And as the Gemara explains, loytav lahem l'rishoyim, it's not a good thing for the wicked people, that they're shown favor in this world. For example, it wasn't good, it's not good for Achav, who is wicked, that he was shown favor in this world. Like it says, a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Yan ki nichne miponai, because he was humble in front of me, I'm not going to bring the wickedness, the evil in his days, but because of that, he gets all his punishments in the world to come, so he's paid up the little good that he does in this world. Similarly, the pasuk there continues in Mishlei, Lahatis tzadik by mishpat, however, to turn the justice of the righteous person, which is toiv lehem letzadikim. However, it's good for the righteous, she'ein noisen lehem panim b'al mazeh, that they're not shown any favoritism in this world. For example, toiv lehem l'maisha, she'ein noisen lehem panim b'al mazeh, was good for Moshe Rabbeinu that he wasn't shown any favoritism in this world. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, yan lo yamantim b'lachdisheni, because he didn't believe in me, Hashem said, to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, to trust me, to sanctify me, so therefore you're going to get punished. Because ha'ilu hemantabi, had you believed in me, and you would have done exactly like I told you, adayin lo hegiya zmanim lipatim in oilim, wouldn't have reached their time to depart from this world. But that's a good thing that they get their little punishment in this world, so that their entire thing of the reward that they get is all for the world to come. The Gemara says the similar differences between the tzaddikim and the rishon. Ashrein le tzaddikim, praiseworthy are the righteous people, that loy dayin chein zeichim, not only do they merit, that they merit their children, their grandchildren, till all the generations in their merit, everyone merits. As we find, there were many sons for Aaron, that they were fit to be burnt and punished like Nadav Aviu were. And the proof is, it says in the pasuk, talks about the leftover sons of Aaron after Nadav Aviu died. So you see that essentially they were supposed to be burnt also, it's just that they were left over. It's just that the merit of their father, of Aaron, that stood in their merit, that's why they stayed alive. Therefore, they were the leftovers of what was supposed to be burnt. Again, so not only do the tzaddikim themselves merit, but their children and grandchildren and older generations merit that too. Whereas, but woe to the wicked, that not only do they make themselves liable, they make all their future generations liable. As we find, Harba banim hayu loy leKanaan, there were many sons for Canaan, who was from the sons of Ham, who was from the sons of Noach, Shiruin li samich kitavi avdi Shrabim Gamliel, who were fit to be ordained, like Tavi, who was the servant of Rabbi Gamliel, who was a big Talmud Chacham, this servant. El shechayvus avim garmalan, but it was the liability of their father that had caused this, and that is because Cham had done this sin with Noach, caused Noach to curse Cham, and his son Canaan was the one that got the curse. Now all the future generations all have the curse of being slaves to everyone else, in spite of the fact that really some of the grandchildren were fit to be great Talmid Chacham, great ordained people, but because of the sin of the Rishayim, their older future generations get the liability because of that. Similar, Kolam Azaka Esaram, whoever merits the public, Ein Chet Baal Yadai. A sin does not come through that person's hand. And that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, because if a person sins, he obviously gets punished. Hashem removes the ability from that person. He removes the obstacles for the person to be able to not do any sin. However, someone that causes the public to sin, almost impossible for the person to do repentance. As the Gemara explains, whoever merits the people, he does something that causes other people to be meritorious, that he doesn't, Hashem removes the ability, he makes it that the person won't come to a sin. My time, what's the reason for that? So that that person himself, who is mezakeh the rabbim, he shouldn't be in Gehenim, but Talmida began Eden, and his students are in Gan Eden because he made them do mitzvahs. He merited the people. Now they're going to be in Gan Eden, but him, the Rebbe, who caused it, is going to be in Gehenim. And so there shouldn't be such a thing. Therefore, Hashem did it. He made a situation that the Rebbe, the one who was mezakeh the people, whatever situation that it was that caused other people to do mitzvahs, that he shouldn't come to stumble in Averis. Shem, like it says the pasuk in Tehillim, that Hashem does this, that he removes situations from causing that person to do averis, ki leisazav nafshi lishol, because he didn't leave my soul for Gehenim, leisitin chasid chalor shachas, you didn't allow your pious one to see destruction. And what that means is that again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the pasuk is teaching us, he removes situations that might cause him to stumble and sin, because Hashem doesn't want it to happen, that he will sin and therefore deserve Gehenim, and then his talmidim will be in Gan Eden. However, the reverse is also true. Whoever causes the public to sin, they don't make it feasible for the person to do repentance. And the reason is that he shouldn't be in Gan Eden because he did tshuva. But those who he caused to sin are going to be Gehenim. It says the pasuk in Mishlei, Adam Ashuk Badam Nafesh, someone that's liable, that's responsible for spilling the blood of somebody else, that he caused someone else to sin, Adbar Yonis, he's going to flee up until the pit, but Al Yismachu Bay, they won't support him. And what that means is they won't stop him from falling into the pit. Rather, they can let him fall into the pit, which is the pit of Gehenim. And that is because tshuva is a siyata from Hashem that stops you from falling into the pit of Gehenim. They will remove that ability of supporting that person, because although he wants to do tshuva, Ema speaking miyadai, so that he should not be in Gan Eden, and this Talmidim who he caused the sin will be in Gehenim. Now the Mishnah told us that Ho'emer Echtav Ashev, Echtav Ashev, that if someone says, look, I'll sin, I'll do tshuva, then Ema speak him. They don't give him that opportunity to do tshuva. Now the Gemara asks on the terminology of our Mishnah, Lamali Lameima, why did the Mishnah have to say Echtav Ashev, that the person says, look, I'll sin, I'll do tshuva, Echtav Ashev, I'll sin, I'll do tshuva, Trei Zimni, why did it repeat it? Why didn't it just say one time that it's something that says, let me do this Averin, I'll do tshuva, that Ema speak him? Why is it only if he says it twice? That the Gemara says, Kedrav Hunam Arav, Dam Rav Hunam Arav, he says, Kivin Sha'avar Adam Avera, Vishanaba, it's talking about specifically when you say Echta Vishana Va'ashav two times, which is because if someone does an Avera and then he repeats it, Hutrulai, it becomes permitted for him. Which right away the Gemara asks, Hutrulai Sakadatach, do you think because a person does a sin two times, it becomes permitted for him? Rather, what he said was that it becomes to him like it's permitted already. He's not phased anymore to resist that temptation, to resist that avera. Now, since he does the sin two times, that's what the Mishnah is saying, that shuv ein maspikim yad lasa tshuva, because then the sin seems to him like something that's a heter, and therefore there's no sin over here for him. That's what it means, that echtav ashav, I'll do the sin, I'll do tshuva, but once he does that twice, then it's like nothing by him, and therefore there's no ability for him to do tshuva, because what are you doing tshuva on? It's not a sin. It's something that for that person almost seems like it's a permitted thing. Now the Mishnah told us similarly that echtav yom kippur mechapa, if someone says, look, I'll sin, and yom kippur will provide an atonement, ein yom kippur mechapa, then yom kippur actually does not atone. Now the Gemara says, le masnitin le krabi, let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi. The time, because we learned in the Brayso, Rabbi Omer, he says, Al-Kola ve'er regarding all the sins in the Torah, bein asa tshuva, bein lo yasa tshuva, whether the person repents or whether he does not repent, Yom Kippur mechaper, the Yom Kippur atones. So we see that no matter what state you're in, Yom Kippur works, whether you do tshuva or not. However, our Mishnah sounds not like that, because it says that if there is a certain situation where if you said that, look, I'll sin and Yom Kippur would provide the atonement, that Yom Kippur itself will do its magic, that it won't work. That's not like Rebbe, who says Yom Kippur always works in all situations. But the Gemara says, no, afilu tamei Rebbe. You could even say that Rebbe could be like the Tana of our Mishnah, because agav shani, which means to say that if the cause of the person sinning was Yom Kippur, because he was relying on Yom Kippur to say, look, I'll do it. Really, he wouldn't. He's afraid. But look, Yom Kippur will work. Then even Rebbe would agree, if you're actually using Yom Kippur as a reason to sin, then Yom Kippur cannot be come ahead and be your defendant and come to atone the person, because in that type of situation, it was the cause for the sin. Now, the Mishnah told us that Aveir Shemin Odom Lamokim, regarding sins between man and God, that Yom Kippur works. However, if it's a sin between man and his friend, then Yom Kippur does not atone until one appeases his friend. So now, on this topic, the Gemara says that Rami le Rav Yisef bar Chavu le Rebavo. He posed him the following contradiction. Aveir Shemin Odom Lachaveri Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper. Is it true, like our Mishnah says, that a sin between man and his friend, Yom Kippur does not provide the atonement until he then appeases his friend? But v'haksiv, there's a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that says, "Im yechta ish la'ish," if a man will sin to his friend, to another man, ufil lo yalekim, and that Hashem will accept his tefillah, which means to say that he'll be appeased through and he'll be atoned through Hashem, even though it's benodim l'chaveri. So you see, you don't have to appease your friend; you just have to ask Hashem for forgiveness. That the Gemara answers, no, it's not Elohim over here, a reference to Hashem, that God, the ruler of the world. Rather, man Elohim, that's a reference to Dayan. That's a reference, judges are also called Elohim. And therefore, when it says Ufiloloi, it doesn't mean the lashon of tefillah, of davening to Hashem, and that way you'll be mechaper, even without asking forgiveness. No, it means Ufiloloi Elohim, that the judges will judge. Because as we find in Shema Yitzchav Alf, the lashon v'nasan meflila means to say that they will give their judgment. That's the idea that if someone does something wrong to his friend, afiloi Elohim, that they go to Bezdin, and Bezdin decides the law, but nothing to do with a kapara, where that doesn't help, that Elohim Hashem will be accept your tefillah. It's rather, as our Mishnah said, that you have to first appease your friend, and here in this pasuk is talking about something else, talking about going to Bezdin when you have an issue with your friend. Now, the Gemara asked, Ihachi, if the way we just translated the pasuk was that the definition of filoi means a term of judgment, not one of tefillah, the name is safer. But look at the end of the pasuk. It says, "Ve'im laHashem yechdeish." But if a man will sin to Hashem, not to his friend, then mi yispalloi? Who will be mispal for him? Now, we just decided that, we just defined in the Gemara that the term pilel here doesn't mean tefillah of davening, it rather means judging. Now, who will go ahead and do the judgment for Hashem? Now, does that make sense? But we know there's many messengers for Hashem to pay back from the person. So how can we say that it means a term of meeting out judgment? So that, as we said at the beginning of the pasuk, if there's an issue between two people, then they ufiloi Elohim, that then the Bezdin meets out the judgment. But when it's between him and Hashem, then mi yispalloi, who's going to meet out the judgment? What do you mean? Hashem has many ways of paying back a person. How could it be a reference to judgment the way we're saying it? So rather, the Gemara says hachikama. You're right. The term of pilel, of tefillah in this pasuk, actually means like we originally had said, that it's a term of tefillah, of pious, of appeasement, of atonement. However, the pasuk is saying as follows. Im yechta ish la'ish, if a man will sin to his friend, ufiloloi, and then he will appease his friend, and his friend will be appeased, then the pasuk continues, Elohim yimchaloi, then Hashem will forgive that person. And the pasuk says, "V'im l'Hashem yechtish." However, if a person sins to Hashem, then mi yispal badoi, then who will go ahead and appease Hashem from the sins that he has in his hands? That is only, as the Gemara concludes, tshuva ma'isim tovim, repentance and good deeds. And that is because this pasuk was where Eli HaKohen was rebuking his sons from the wickedness and the evil that they had done. So he was trying to say, look, if you don't do tshuva and ma'isim tovim, then who is going to appease God? In other words, by your friend you could appease and you could say, please forgive me. But with Hashem, it only comes through tshuva and ma'isim tovim. So yes, it is a reference to being mispal to Hashem, But however, that's the end of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk, we asked the question of a filloy lekim. Sounds like that you just damat Hashem and then you're forgiven between ish la ish. That's not the way you should read it. The punctuation should be that if he has an issue with an ish la ish ufilloy and he appeases his friend, then elikim, then Hashem will go ahead and forgive the person. And the end of the pasuk was saying, however, if it's between you and God, then who's going to appease God? If not, this is what Eli was telling his sons, if a person does tshuva and ma'isim tovim. Now, continuing on this theme about pious, about appeasing, Amr b'Yitzchak, kol ha-maknedes chaver, whoever bothers his friend, afilu b'dvarim, even just with words, tzarech l'fayseh, you have to appease him, you have to go ahead and ask forgiveness. Shneim, like it says, a pasuk in Mishlei. B'ni, my son, im aravta l'riyecha, if you're a guarantor to your friend, takato lazar, that is, you stuck out to a foreigner, that means because of a foreigner, you stuck out kapecha, your palm, which means to say you opened up your hand to then be a guarantor for money. Or if neikashta b'mipicha, you stumbled, you were ensnared in the words of your mouth, which means to say that you went and you bothered him with your words, then asei zois eifoi b'nivi natzel. So then, my son, do this at least, and you'll be saved, which is kivasa b'kafer echa, because you came into the palm of your friend, which means to say that because of the monetary issue that you owe your friend now, because you were guarantor, lech hisrapes, go ahead and abase yourself. Now, the term of hisrapes is a contraction of two words of hater pes, open up your palm, open up your hand, and pay up, urhav riecha, and make your friend into a ruler. Now, these two different ideas that the pasuk's talking about, which is, as the Gemara explains, imamin yesh loy biyadecha, if he has money that's coming to him that's in your hand, because you're a guarantor, so then hatir loy pieces ya, then open up for him the palm of your hand, which was the word of hisrapes. However, imlav, but if not, rather it's like what the end of the pasuk was saying, val moikish imre ficha, that you're ensnared by the words of your mouth, which means to say that you bothered him, then that's what the pasuk at the end means, rehav riecha, make your friend into a ruler, that is, harbe lav reim, that you should increase upon that person many, many friends, which means to go to him and ask forgiveness for you, which is, as Rashi says, since the word riecha at the end of the pasuk is written in its fullest term, that comes to connote a loshon ram, plural, which means to say send people to consolate him, to appease him, because since you bothered him, you have a chiyuv, an obligation of being mefayis, appeasing him, so send people to say, please forgive him, that way you'll have your mechila, you have your kapar. Related to this, the Gemara says, Amr Rav Chisda says, "V'tzarech lefaisa." Yeah, when you're going to appease that friend, you have to appease him b'sholish shurois shol shleisha b'nei adam, with three rows of each row having three people, which means to say that three different times you have to send people to appease him, and each time should be a group of three people. Shneim, like it says a pasuk in Eiv, "Yasher al anoshim v'yemer," that he goes around by the people and he says, now here it's a term of yasher, is the term of shura, of a row. Now, as the Gemara learns elsewhere, that a row is not less than three people. So you're sending three people three times. How do we see three times? As the pasuk continues, where you say chatasi I sin, that's one time. V'yasher havisi, and what was upright, I have distorted, that's the second time. V'lei shavale, and it wasn't worth it for me, that's the third time. And that's where you see that you should have a shura, which is three people, three different times, chatasi, yasher havisi, and lei shavale. That's the achrayas a person has when he does something wrong by saying hurtful words to his friend. Now, Amr b'Yisi Reb Chanina, he says that kolam avakish motu mechaver, whoever asks forgiveness from his friend, al yevakish mimenu yoyse mishalosh pam. However, you should not ask forgiveness more than three times. Shneim, like it says a pasuk in Bereishis, and there's a pasuk that says koysoimu leYosef, that the brothers of Yosef said that their father had said regarding what the brothers had done wrong to Yosef, that as if the father Yaakov had said, this is what you should tell Yosef. Ana, please, sana, please carry. And as the pasuk there continues, va'ata sana, now please carry, which we find that they say the term na three times. And na is always a term of bakasha, of request. So we see that this forgiveness that they were asking was three times, but not more than three times. Now, in mace, and if the person that you bothered, if he died, so you can't ask forgiveness anymore, so maybe asar b'nei adam, you bring 10 people, umamidin al kivra, and you put them by his grave. V'oimen, you say as follows, Chatasi l'Hashem elikei Yisrael, I've sinned to Hashem, the God of the Jewish people. Ulaplani shechav al tibay, and that person which I have harmed him. And that's what a person does in lieu of asking forgiveness. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas, that Rabbi Yirmiyah, havli milsa l'Rab Abba b'hadei, and that is, Rab Abba had reason to be upset at Rabbi Yirmiya that he had done something wrong to him. Now, so therefore, Azal, so Rabbi Yirmiya went, who he had to ask forgiveness from Rababa, Esiv Adoshad Rababa. He went and he sat by the doorway of Rababa. Now, Bahadi Deshadia Amse Maya, when the servant woman of Rababa was throwing out the water, Mata Zarzife Demaya, now there were driplets of the water that was being thrown out into the garbage, spilled Aresha on Rabbi Yirmiya's head, who was sitting right outside the door. So Amar, he said, Asu'uni Ka'ashba, look, they made me into the garbage dump. So Kariya Nasha, he said regarding himself, the Pasuk in Tehillim that says, Me'ashba Yisyuram Evyon, that from the garbage dumps, they will elevate the destitute. A reference to himself that he turned into the Ashba. So Shom Rababa v'Navig La'Pei, Rababa heard what happened. He came out to greet Rabbi Yirmiya. Amalei, now he said to Rabbi Yirmiya, now hashtu tzrichno l'meipik adaitach. Now I have to go and ask you, Mechila, because what happened because of one of the members of my household poured the garbage water on your head. The chesib, like it says in the Pasuk, leich hisrapes, go out and abase yourself, urehav re'echa, make your friend into a leader. That's the way I have to go ahead and now ask your Mechila because of what happened to you. Now related to this, the Gemara says that Reb Zeira, when he had an argument with another person, when Reb Zeira had reason to be upset at someone else, so he would constantly go back and forth in front of where that person was, so that he could make himself available in front of the person that had wronged him, so that the person could be able to come over to him and ask him forgiveness, and then he'll give him a chila. I mean, he felt bad for the other person, who he's going to get punished because he's not asking him forgiveness. So he would walk in front of the person to make himself available so that the person could go, oh, I'm so sorry what I did, and then he'll forgive the person. Now, related to this, the Gemara says that Rav, havali milsa bahadi ahu tabacha. Similarly, Rav had an incident with a certain butcher, who the butcher had wronged Rav. Now, loyos lekame, the butcher didn't come in front of Rav to ask forgiveness. Now, b'mali yom dikipure, on Erev Yom Kippur, amayihu, Rav told himself, said, look, let me go to him so that we can become reconciliated because he's going to get punished for not asking me forgiveness. Now, pogebe Rav Huna went and met Rav on his way. So amalei, he said, lehecha ka'azlamar, where's Rebbe going? So Amalei lefiyusi leplanya, I'm going to appease with that following person, that butcher. So Rav Huna commented, he says, Azal Abba, Rav is going lemiktal nafsha to kill somebody because now for sure that person is going to be punished because he's not going to go ahead and make up with Rav. And now since Rav is going to him and still he's not making up with him, he's for sure going to be punished. So Rav essentially is killing that person by going there. So Rav had went and he went there in front of where the butcher was. Now, Havayasav Kapali Resha, the butcher was busy then at that time. He was breaking the bones of the head of the animal. Dal Einav Echazi picked up his eyes and he saw Rav standing there. Amalei, he said to him, Abba At, you're Rav? Zil, go away. Lesli Milsabadach, we have nothing to talk about. I have nothing to do with you. So Bahadi the Kapali Resha, at that time when he was breaking the bones of the head, Ishtamid Garma, a bone got dislodged. And it flew out and hit him in the neck, Bekatle, and it killed him. Again, like Rav Huna had said, because now that for sure Rav came and brought himself there, giving the opportunity for him to ask forgiveness, and he didn't, that caused him to be killed. Moreover, there's another incident regarding this idea about Mechila and being Mephias. It says that Rav have a Pasuk Sidra. Rav was organizing the reading of the Psukim of Navi and Kesuvim, Kamei de Rebbe, in front of Rebbe. Now, Oyel, they came in, and we continue on to Amud Beis, and Asa Reb Chiya came in, and he also wanted to go ahead and go through the Psukim in Navi and the Ksuvim. So Hadal Reisha. So he went and he started over because of Reb Chiya, and he started over from the beginning so that he could also read the Psim Psukim. Now Ayah Bar Kapor went and he also came in. So Hadal Reisha, again he started over in the beginning so that everyone could hear all the Psukim together. Asa Reb Shimon B'Rebbe, Hadal Reisha, again he went back to the beginning. Now Asa Reb Chanina Bar Chama, so Amar, so then he said, look, kule hai nehadav enazal, the whole day I'm going to keep on starting over because other people are coming in. So lehadar, he didn't go back to the beginning and he just continued where he was. Now, ikbed Reb Chanina was very upset. Azal Rav Lagabe, so Rav went to him, tleser maliyeh diyamid de Kippur, he went to ask him forgiveness, 13 Erev Yom Kippurs, v'lo yifayis, and Reb Chanina was never appeased, it wasn't meichalem for what he had done. Now, the Gemara asks on both of them. The Hechel Abed Hachi, how did Rav do this to ask him forgiveness 13 Yom Kippur, every Yom Kippur is in the row? Whoever asks forgiveness from his friend, as we said before, should not ask forgiveness more than three times, as we find by Yosef's brothers. They only asked him not three times. That the Gemara says, Rav Shani. Rav's different. He was very stringent upon himself, and therefore he went even 13 times. Now the Gemara asks on the other one, Rav Chanina Hechadavi, how did he do this not to be appeased? But Vama Rav says, Kalam Avraham Midaisav, whoever does not stand on the principle, he gives in, he forgives, Mavir and Loya Kol Peshav, so then they take away all his sins. Why is he standing on principle, not forgiving, if that's a halacha that's necessary, that a person should not be like that, should not be stubborn, and rather a person should be Mavir al Midaisav. So why didn't he forgive him? The Gemara says, Ela Rav, the reason is really for a different reason. That is, Reb Chanina, Chel Mochazel Le Rav. Chanina had a dream regarding Rav. There's a Kfuhu Bedikla that he was hanging from a palm tree. Now, V'gimiri, we have a tradition, the chod is a kfu bedikla, whoever in the dream is hanging from a palm tree, Reisha Hava, he's going to be a leader, it's a sign for becoming the Rosh Hashiva and becoming a great person. Now, Amar Shema Minosh, Rabbi Chanina said, what I hear from this dream is Boila Mebed Rishusa, that they want to make Rav into the Rosh Hashiva. Now, the thing was, Rabbi Chanina himself was the Rosh Hashiva at the time. Like Rabbi says in the Gemara in Ksubis, that when he passed away, that Chanina Bar Chama is going to be the Rosh Hashiva. Now, therefore, when he saw this dream regarding Rav, he was worried he's going to die. Because we know that no two rulers are at the same time. Hence, he said to himself, look, that means if he's going to become the Rosh Hashiva, that means I'm going to die. Now, therefore, he says, V'loy fayis, I won't become appeased when he asks me to be Meichlem. Ki heichid delezel v'ligmar reisav above all, so that he should feel bad. He doesn't want to meet me anymore and confront me because I'm so upset him. He's going to go ahead and teach Torah in Bavel, and there he's going to become the Rosh Hashiva, because he's going to run away from there, and there he'll be the Rosh Hashiva, and therefore I won't have to die because of him. And that is because he's going to become Rosh Hashiva, that means I'm going to have to pass away. So I'll push him away, I won't be Meichlem, he'll feel bad, he'll go to Bavel instead of being here in Eretz Yisrael. And there he'll be the Rosh Hashiva, and I'll be able to also be the Rosh Hashiva, and that's why it wasn't Meichlem. But of course he would have been Mavra al-Midaisav, he did it for ulterior motives so that he should be able to live longer, and that, there's not a problem with that, and that's why he did that. Now the Gemara continues on these halachas of Vidui on Yom Kippur. So Torah Rabbanan learned the Braisa. Mitzvah's Vidui, the mitzvah of confession, is Erev Yom Kippurim im Chashecha. It's done on the eve of Yom Kippur when it becomes dark, which is after a person finishes eating and he accepts upon himself Yom Kippur. Our sages have told us that Yisvada Koidim Shriyechel B'yishta, a person should really confess before he eats and drinks what's called the Suda HaMafsekis, the meal before Yom Kippur starts. Shemeti Torev Daita B'suda, because maybe from drinking too much he might not be able to focus properly and do the Vidur properly. So therefore he should go ahead and do it before he eats and drinks by the Suda HaMafsekis. Now, however, in spite of the fact that now we're doing the confession before he eats and drinks, he should also say confession after he eats and drinks. In other words, by the evening after the meal of Tzud Mavsekis. And although he already did it beforehand, maybe something wrong, a sin had been done, besuda, by the mealtime, and that's why you do it before, because Shemeti Torah Daita, but you also do it afterwards, maybe you sinned during the meal. Now, v'avapish shizvada arvis, even though he said vidui by the evening in Kippur, Yisvada Shachris, he should say vidui in the morning too. Shachris, even if he said in the morning. Yisvada b'musaf, he should say vidui by the musaf. B'musaf, Yisvada b'mincha, he should still say b'mincha. And b'mincha, even if he said b'mincha, Yisvada b'nila, he should say it again by ne'ila. Now the Heichen Amri, where in davening does the person say the vidui? So Yachar Achar Tfilah, so the individual, he says it after he finishes the Shemoneh Esrei, right? And however, the Shlich Tzibur, the one who's going davening for the Amid, he says it in middle. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Mayama, what is Vidui? What is the content of Vidui? What is said in the Vidui? So we have many different opinions, and a lot of these things are incorporated into our tefillahs. Amar Rav, Rav says, Ati Yadei Razi Olam, the tefillah of you know the secrets of the world. That's the Vidui. Ushmulam, he says, Mimamake Halev, from the depths of the heart, which is a certain tefillah which we don't have anymore. The Levi Amr, he says, "Ubesayroscha kasev lema," that in your Torah it's written as follows, which is the pasuk of Kibiyim Hazayichaper, because on this day you will provide atonement. Rabbi Yechon Amr, he says, "Ribayin ha'ilamim, master of the world," which is the tefillah that says, "Kiloyat tzitkesenu," because not for our righteousness do we stand, but rather Hashem, it's all you. Please forgive us. Rabbi Yehuda Amr, he says, Kavaneseinu rabu melimnas, because our sins are so great from counting. V'chataseinu atzmi mesaper, and our sins are so great also from enumerating, and that's the vidui. Rav Amnuna Amar, he says the following: Elikai, my God, atchaloi netzarti enechadai. Up until I was formed, I wasn't worthy. Achshav shenetzarti, now that I was formed, kiloloi netzarti, is like as if I was never formed. Afrani bechaye, I am earth in my lifetime. Kavochem b'mesasi, all the more so when I'm dead. Hareini lefanecha kichli moli vusho uchlima. So behold, I am in front of you, Hashem, like a vessel that's full of embarrassment and humiliation. Yiratzayim lefanecha should be your will in front of you. Shloi echta, that I shouldn't sin. U'mashachatasi, and what I have sinned, morik berachamecha, you should cleanse, you should purge with your mercy. Avloi al deisrim, but not through afflictions. And the Gemara tells us, this was the confession that Rav would say the entire year. And this was the Vida of Rav Nuna Zutta on Yom Kippur. However, Mazuta qualifies all these different opinions. It says, Loya Maran, we didn't say all these different opinions to say in our Nusach of Vidui. Only if the person didn't say yet, however, it's true, we have sinned. However, if the person has already said that phrase, however, it's true that we have sinned, then he doesn't have to say anything else for the vidui. As the Gemara says, Amar Barham Duri, like Barham Dudi says, I was once in front of Shmuel, Vav Yosef, he was sitting. Now, however, when the Shlich Tzibur, the one that was down in front of Amar, when he got up to the words, then Shmuel got up. So Amar says, he said, Shema Mina, what we could infer from Shmuel's Hanhoga is that Ikra Vidui Haihu must be that the primary confession are those words, Aval Anachnu Chatanu, and therefore if one says that, you don't have to say all these other tefillas, because that's the primary Vidui, and one has fulfilled his chiyuv with saying the words, Aval Anachnu Chatanu. Now, regarding the tefillah of Nila that we spoke about, and about Vidui, the Gemara brings the following Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Tainus, B'shloisha Prakim Hashana, during three different times of the year, Kahanim nusnis kapayin arba pombayim. Then the Kahanim do what's called nusis kapayim. They lift up their palms. They do berachas Kahanim four times in a day. They do it b'shachris, b'musaf, b'mincha, u'b'ne'ila sha'arim. And by the closing of the gates. The Elohim shlesha prakam. What are the three different times that they do it? They're betainius. They're during public fast when there is no rain in Eretz Yisrael. U'b'mamadois, and in the stations, which is, there's 4 days out of the week that the different groups of Jewish people gather in their cities and they fast and they read what's called the Maisa Bereishis, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Tainus, that just like there were 24 groups of Kahanim, that each week was another group that did the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so too the owners, so to speak, of the Karbanis that were brought for the Tzibur have to be there by their Karban, which that includes the Jewish people. So they also made Mamadis, different groups of Jewish people, that some would be by the Beis HaMikdash and some would be in their cities, that 4 days out of that week they would fast and they would say these different parashias. Those are called the Mamadis. Uve Yom Kippurim and Yom Kippurim, by these three periods, was when the Kahanim would do Nesias Kapayim four times in the day, Shachas, Mincha, Musaf, and Ne'ilah. Now, Rashi does bring that the Gemara and Tainus there asks that on fast days, public fast days of Tainus and Mamadis, which are also similar types of, that they fast and they say these tefillas, that the Karbanis of the Beis HaMikdash should be accepted, which there are different groups throughout Klal Yisrael, that the problem is it's not a Yom Tov those days, and there's no Musaf on those days. So how can we say three periods that they would do Nesias Kapayim four times at these four tefillahs when there is no Musaf on the Tainus and the Mamadis? Then the Gemara answers what the Gemara was saying was that the Kahanim would do Nesias Kapayim every tefillah that they would daven, and the chiddush in that of these three times is even during Mincha. And that's because generally the Kahanim don't do Nesias Kapayim, they don't do Birchas Kahanim during Mincha, because we're concerned that they drank during the daytime and now they're drunk, and a shikur is not allowed to go ahead and do Nesias Kapayim. However, these three times of the year that everyone's fasting, so there's no shikris, so therefore, they go ahead and every tefillah, they go ahead and they do Nesias Kapayim, because there's no such a concern of shikris. However, the rest of the year, that's only three times, because there's no ne'ilah, there's no musaf, there is ne'ilah. However, there are, what the Mishnah was saying, there are times that it's up to four times, because some of these three, which is the reference to Yom Kippurim, are going to be four tefillahs, because on Yom Kippur, not only is there Shachris, Mincha, and Ilor, there's also the tefillah of Musaf. But the main idea of these three times are that every tefillah, even Mincha, they go ahead and they do Nesis Kapayim because there's no concern about Shikras. Now that the Gemara asks, mind the Ilah Sha'arim, what are these three periods that we said that every tefillah they go ahead and do Nesis Kapayim, which all those three periods have Shachris, Mincha, and one of them has Musaf, and they all have Ne'ilah, what we call Ne'ilah, which is the closing of the gates. What is that a reference to? What is this tefillah of Ne'ilah? So it's a machlekes. Rava Matzleisi Seirasa. He says, it's another Shemayna Esrei, and that is you say seven brachas, like all the other Shemayna Esreis you say on those days of the Mamadis and the Tainius and Yom Kippur. Ushmul Amar, he says, no, it's the tefillah of Ma'onu Mechayenu. What are we? What are our lives? And that is, according to Shmuel, you don't go ahead and say a new Shemayna Esrei, a new tefillah. Rather, it's the tefillah of Ma'onu Mechayenu. Now, the Gemara asks Meisvei, the Gemara contradicts Shmuel from the following brisa. It says, Or Yom Kippurim, the evening of Yom Kippur, Mispal Shevu Mizvada. You daven Shemayna Esrei, which are seven brachas, and you say confession. B'Shachris Mispal Shevu Mizvada. During Shachris, you say seven brachas in Shemayna Esrei, and you say vidui. B'Musav Mispal Shevu Mizvada. B'Musav, you say seven brachas, and you say vidui. B'Mincha Mispal Shevu Mizvada. B'Mincha, you also daven a regular Shemayna Esrei, which is seven brachas on Yom Kippur, and you say confession. But the Ilah Misbal Shevu Mizvada. During the Ilah, you also say seven brachas and you say confession. Now, there is a girsa here, but many girsas that of the Vilna Gaon and the Bach, they take out the next words of as if this is an answer for Shmuel, which says Tanoihi, that it's a machlik, Tanoim, the Tanya Yom Kippur, Mchashech, Misbal Shevu Mizvada. They take out those words, and rather it just continues with the continuation of that brisa, which is Vechesim Mevidah. So all these tefillahs, the Mairim, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Ne'iloi, you say seven brachas and you say confession. And the Chesim Mevidu Divrei Meir Meir also holds that you conclude with the confession. Instead of ending the bracha, Mekadosh Yisrael, like we generally do, you end up the bracha, Hakel HaSochan, the God that's forgiving. The Chachamim, they say, they argue in Rav Meir on this point. They say, Mispal Sheva, you say seven brachas, but Ve'imrotza Lacht Mevidu Chesim. If you want to conclude the bracha with confession, like Hakel HaSochan, then you could, but you don't have to. You could say, Mekadosh Yisrael. However, either way, the Gemara says, Tiyufta Dishmul Tiyufta. This obviously clearly refutes Shmuel because we see clearly that the Tefillah of Ne'ilah is just like all the other Tefillahs, which is a full-fledged Shemayna Esrei. It's just a machlekes regarding how you conclude, but it's going to be a regular Shemayna Esrei of seven brachas, not like Shmuel who said it's Ma'onu Mechayenu. Now, the Gemara brings a story, however, related to this machlekes, that Ulaba Rav, Noches Kameh de Rava, he went down in front of Rava to daven the Tefillah of Ne'ilah. Now, parenthetically, Rashi tells us that this term of Ne'ilah, of closing of the gates, is Machlekes Amiram in the Brachas in Yerushalmi. One opinion says it's the closing of the gates of heaven. That's that time of Ne'ilah. And the other one says the closing of the gates of the Azar, of the courtyard. Either way, he went down to daven Ne'ilah in front of Rabbah. Pasach bi'ata v'chartonu. He began it like a Shemayna Esrei, which is the Bracha of Ata v'chartonu. B'sayim b'ma'onu mechayenu. He concluded with the Tefillah of what are we, what are our lives. Vishabche, and Rava praised him because ultimately he was doing it like Rav and Shmuel. He did it like a Shemayna Esrei, and he also ended off Me'onu Mechayenu, which would be like Shmuel. But that's what Shmuel held was the Tefillah of Ne'ilah. Now the Gemara tells us that Rav Huna Bereid of Nasan Amar, the Yachad Oimer Achar Tefillase. However, individual says it after his Tefillah, which is during the time of when one says Vidui. Amar Rav says, Tfilas Ne'ilah Paiteris Eshal Arvitz. He tells us that this Tfilah of Ne'ilah, which is unique for certain times of the year, that exempts an individual from davening Ma'ariv that night. So the Gemara tells the Rav L'Tameh, Rav goes according to his opinion elsewhere that we just quoted before, Damat Slesi Seirahi. He holds that Ne'ilah is another Shemayna Esrei. And V'kivin Tzalileh, so once you daven another Tfilah when it's already dark, Sulei Tzarchsi, you don't have to daven Ma'ariv anymore because Ne'ilah is taking the place of Ma'ariv. It's another Shemayna Esrei taking the place. Now the Gemara asked, "Umiyomer Rav Hachi, did Rav really say this? That I mean, we obviously know that he holds not like Shmuel, which is that it's a Shemayna Esrei, and hence if it's at nighttime, it'll fill the role of Ma'ariv. But Vama Rav tells him, Maseches Brachas, Halacha Kedivri Oimet Tefilas Arvitz Rishus. The Halacha follows the one who says that Ma'ariv, that Tefillah of the evening, is only it's voluntary. Now, therefore, the question is, what is Rav saying that Ne'ilah is Poiteris, it exempts the obligation of Ma'ariv, but there is no obligation of Ma'ariv, it's only Rishus. So what is it exempting? It sounds like it's exempting a Chayva, but according to Rav, there is no Chayva of Ma'ariv. But the Gemara answers, L'divri ha'oimer Chayva kama. Rav was saying that according to the opinion that holds that Ma'ariv is an obligation, then this Tefillah of Ne'ilah, even according to that opinion, will exempt. But you're right, according to Rav, he didn't have to say that because he holds anyways, Ma'ariv is only Rishus. Now the Gemara asks Meisvei. The Gemara asks from the following Braisa on Rav. The Braisa tells us, Uriya Mikipurim Mispal Shevu Mizvada. The evening of Yom Kippur, one davens seven brachas, or Ashmeina Esrei of Yom Kippur, and he says, Vidui, Shachar Shevu Mizvada, Musiv Shevu Mizvada, Bene'ilah Mispal Shevu Mizvada, Arvis, the following Ma'ariv, after Yom Kippur, Mispal Sheva Mi'ein Shmeina Esrei. He says only seven brachas, which are a form of the 18 brachas of Shemayin Esrei, which is during a regular weekday, which is what the Ma'ariv after Yom Kippur is. Now, what does that mean, seven, which is that it's that's some type of the Shemayin Esrei? Because what he does is he says the first three brachas, and he says the last three brachas of Shemayin Esrei, as it's always supposed to be. And then he says the tefillah of Havineinu in the middle, which has included in this one bracha, it strings through its lines the references of all the 13 brachas, which are generally in the middle of Shemayna Esrei. And that's what's called Tefillah Katsar, which Chazal were misakin for Oivei Drachim, those who are going on the road, which can't say regular Shemayna Esrei, they say this Tefillah Katsar now. Matz Yom Kippur, when everyone was through the entire Yom Kippur, they don't want to be matriach to make it difficult for people. So this opinion holds that they were able to say Havineinu, and thereby having the Shemayna Esrei, but in an abridged version of only seven brachas. Chanina ben Gamliel, Mishum Avaisav, he says in the name of his father, is that no, Mispal Shemayna Esrei Shlemes, Matz Yom Kippur, you have to say a full-fledged Shemayna Esrei. And we continue top of Pechasim and Alf. Because you have to say Havdalah in the bracha of Chayin Hadas. Now, if you're going to say Havineinu, you're going to have a tefillah that wouldn't allow you to have a separate bracha of Atachayinu, which is where we say Havdalah in davening. Hence, you can't say this abridged version. You have to have the full-fledged bracha to tease out, to have every bracha separately, so that you have the bracha of Atachayinu separately, that inside that bracha, you could say Havdalah, because it's Matz Yom Kippur, and you have to say Havdalah in davening. Now, the question is, one thing we see is clearly that we say there's a tefillah of Ne'ilah that has its own tefillah, and then says a separate Shemayin Esrei, the Braisa is quoting, of Ma'ariv. So you see that the tefillah of Ne'ilah is not going to exempt the tefillah of Ma'ariv. That's not like Rav, who said that once you daven Ne'ilah, which is by evening, you don't have to daven Ma'ariv. But the Gemara answer is Tanoihi. You write this Braisa is obviously not like Rav, but it's a machlokes Tanoim if the tefillah of Ne'ilah will exempt the tefillah of Ma'ariv or not. The Tanoim like the Braisa. Kol chiyuv tefillahs. All those who have an obligation of immersing in the mikvah, Tovlin Kedar can be on Yom Kippur. They could immerse in the mikvah as their normal way would be if it was on a weekday, on Yom Kippur, because although one's not allowed to bathe on Yom Kippur, that doesn't apply when you're doing it for your obligation of immersing in the mikvah for Tahara, which would be Nida, but you're led this, for example, a woman that's in Nida and she's purifying from that, or a woman that gave birth. So Tevlis Kedarkin, Belel Yom Kippur, their halacha is that they immerse in the nighttime, so the evening of Yom Kippur, they immerse as they always would be in the mikvah. Balkari, a person that had a seminal emission, who he's forbidden in the words of Torah, as the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Baba Kama, that Ezra instituted immersing in the mikvah for someone that's a balkari. So teiva v'hoylich ad hamincha. So the first opinion in the Braisa teaches us that he also could go ahead and immerse himself in the mikvah on Yom Kippur up until mincha time. And that is, if he became a balkari before mincha, then he immerses so that he could be able to daven mincha, because he's not allowed to say dvarim shebekdusha according to Ezra before he goes and immerses himself in the mikvah. But if he saw a seminal emission after he davened mincha ready, then this opinion holds that he's not allowed to go ahead and immerse himself on Yom Kippur, because you're not allowed to bathe yourself. Rather, wait until it gets dark, it's already after Yom Kippur, then you go ahead and immerse yourself in the mikvah. Because the Rabbanan, which this opinion in the Braisa holds, that the tefillah of Ne'ilah is by nighttime. So therefore, according to them, of course, they would hold like Rav, that since Ne'ilah is by evening time, so it's going to exempt the tefillah of Ma'ariv. Now, although we just quoted before a braisa that holds that it's a separate tefillah, that of Ne'ilah and that of Ma'ariv, that Ne'ilah will not exempt Ma'ariv, that's the next opinion of braisa of Rabbi Yossi Omer. He says, Kolayim Kulay, the whole entire day, the Balkari is allowed to go ahead and immerse himself in the mikvah on Yom Kippur, even if he saw a seminal mission after the tefillah of Mincha. He could still immerse himself in the mikvah. So why? Why would he allow himself, why immerse yourself in mikvah when you're not allowed to bathe yourself on Yom Kippur? We understand if it's to be able to daven, but here you have no need to it. Obviously, it's because to be able to daven in Ne'ilah. So we see the Rabbi Yossi holds that when is the tefillah of Ne'ilah? He holds Ne'ilah is during the daytime Yom Kippur, not during the evening. And therefore, yes, that's what the previous Braisa was saying, that the tefillah of Ne'ilah will not exempt the tefillah of Ma'ariv, because they hold, like Rabbi Yossi, that the tefillah of Ne'ilah is during the daytime, not during the evening. But Rav, who said that the tefillah of Ne'ilah will already exempt the tefillah of Ma'ariv, even according to the one who holds that Ma'ariv is an obligation, is going like the Rabbanan of that Braisa that hold Ne'ilah is by the evening. And that's why they hold that if a Balkari becomes a Baal Keri. He sees a similar mission. After Mincha, he should not immerse because it's not going to hold him back from saying any tefillah, because actually the tefillah of Nila is by the nighttime, and again, that's why it exempts the tefillah of Ma'ariv.